in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
We're on.
And we're on Facebook Live, so go to Fort
Recovery
Radio's Facebook page, and you can watch us talk.
Fantastic.
Which is has to be exciting.
So we're back. Hello, Rocker.
Hello, Jack.
I missed you last week.
Did you listen?
I listened to part of it.
Yeah, well, it's more than most people probably did.
Yeah. I'm not very happy. You kind of threw me under the bus a little bit.
Just a tad, maybe.
Yeah, so tell me about how things went with Bill last week.
About as good as it could possibly go with Bill.
But
although the few setups I had for him that would make him kick in, he bailed on me.
Is that right?
I set him up for about two or three jokes, and he just...
And he missed it.
He dive-bombed on me.
Did he? So, well, Bill is at home prepping for his colonoscopy tomorrow. So this is probably the one day a year that he's not full of it. Okay.
He's drinking that brown juice.
That's right. Yeah, and we welcome into studio Sheriff Jeff Gray. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jack.
So, it's been a while.
It has been a while. This is the first time I've been in your new place here.
Is that right? Well, it's a Taj Mahal, isn't it, Neil?
Okay. Comparatively, yes. We were cramped. The other place was nice because you had a big window and you could see everything going on, but you didn't have any room to breathe.
Yeah. So Rocker, let's start with you before you, Sheriff Gray, kind of enlightens us. So, what's new in the Rocker world?
Well, we had the canceled Taliban summit.
Why was that canceled?
Well, I think
they blew somebody up. The president didn't think it would be appropriate to reward that, so he decided we're not going to do that.
I can't imagine a bunch of. That wouldn't look very good.
No, it wouldn't, would it?
And especially 9/11 week.
Yep, and a lot of people didn't want them being at Camp David.
You know what? I think we're going to talk about the 9/11 thing. Yeah. So do you remember where you were when it happened?
I was coming downstairs. I was been graduated by then. Came downstairs and I was wanting to watch Regis. And no Regis. By that time, I think the first plane had went through by that point.
Yeah.
And then all you see is a bunch of smoke. I mean, it's like, and then it wasn't. It seemed like, well, in actuality, it was a little while, but it just seemed like that, the next thing you know, the Pentagon was hit.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh boy, we are in a world of hurt here.
Sheriff Gray, where were you?
I was actually in my office at work in the old building.
Oh, my.
Before we built the new jail. And, of course, this is the time of the year that we start working on next year's budget.
Yep.
And I was in there working on that when Tim Fink was my chief deputy at the time. And he came into my office and he goes, "You got your TV on?" I said, "No." He goes, "Well, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center." So I turned the TV on, and when he told me that, I was expecting, a little plane.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and then I hadn't been watching too long when the second plane hit. That's when I realized, uh-oh.
This is big.
And, it makes you panic a little bit. You're worried about what's going on. I got together with the county EMA director. We talked a little bit. We actually put more deputies in the courthouse. Not, it was kind of one of those where you go, Mercer County's probably not a prime target.
Yeah.
But and I remember it was funny because there was, it wasn't funny, but the funny discussion was, what if they crash a plane into our courthouse? And I remember telling the EMA director, then we're in trouble because I got no way to stop it.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, it was, you know, it was just one of those things that, you just, I remember when President Bush then ordered all the planes to land and being out and looking up in the sky, you know, you didn't see any airplanes going by or anything. It was just an eerie, terrible feeling. This morning, Judge Zitter had a, and she does it every year, she has a remembrance. And this morning, she was talking about, we have a whole new generation now. It's been 18 years. There's people now that weren't alive when it happened that are
nobody that's adults. Presently in the school system
right.
was alive when it happened.
And it was, I mean, it was an emotional thing with Judge Zitter. She had all three judges there, and it was a nice, wasn't the long ceremony yes. there, but it was just a nice remembrance. And I didn't realize till this morning they read the names of the people from Ohio that died. I guess I knew there were people from Ohio. I didn't realize 20 people from Ohio between being on the airplanes or being in the World Trade Center lost their life.
It's incredible. You know, we were like you. We were in like a business planning meeting, and we were in the back room of Romer's, I think. And Karen Romer came out and she said, a plane just hit a building in New York. And you know, we, and you, there were some early reports that it was a small plane and you didn't know what to make of it to a right. certain extent. And then as things got bigger, we ended our meeting, got back to the plant because there was a lot of, you know, everybody was on edge, you know, and even from a an HR standpoint, you know, you think about your people and what they're worried about and their kids at school, and are they going to attack the schools, and are they going to attack the meat supply? I mean, you, everything is in play,
right?
You know,
well, and also you don't know if they're gonna drop an atomic bomb on, because we don't know who it was, on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, mm-hmm. which could affect us
without
pretty
doubt.
Easily. You know, the first thing I thought was a plane hit a building in New York. I thought of the thing back in the, you know, 50, 60 years ago when a small plane hit the Empire State Building, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good thing, but, and kind of sad, but it wasn't a big deal.
When that second one hit, it yep. just changed everything.
Yep.
Right. I think that's when everybody realized this wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fluke. This is intentional.
Yeah. So what else has happened on this day, Rucker?
Well, that was pretty much it. I tried to look for other stuff that happened on this day. Well, and that was pretty much the major one that I came across.
That's the biggie. So, and I think you also have an obituary you'd like to
share. Yes, sadly, most of you probably have known her or seen her. My cousin Judy Billerman, who ran the MDA for numerous years, passed away Sunday at the age of 77. She was quite the person. She was very opinionated and very, very supportive of the MDA deal, and she enjoyed doing that for years. Enjoyed making pies for my dad. Well, only because she wouldn't be allowed in the house unless he had a sugar cream pie.
That sounds mean. She grew up there,
but yeah, it's a big loss.
Yeah. So, Judy was 77.
77.
So, did she graduate from Fort Recovery?
I believe so, yes.
I'm very sure of that. She went to high school here for a long time. Back in those days, she may have just quit school and gone to work, yeah. Or she may have gone to somewhere else to finish her high school. But I remember her as adult or nearly adult. Yeah. I don't remember her any other way than exactly like she looked 3 weeks ago at the MD tournament. I mean, she's looked the same for the 60 years that I've known her. She was basically an adult from the time I knew her.
So if like she was 77, she probably graduated around 1960 or so. So
that probably sounds about right.
So well, I hate to hear that, Rocker, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Bonvillain family and the Billerman family.
Now, who was her father?
John Lynn.
Okay. Yep.
Her dad died when she was 13 years old.
Okay.
So and then my dad kind of took over that role pretty much.
Yep. And Paul, did she live at Paul's house?
No, she lived with Grandma Irene for quite a few years.
Oh, yep. I forgot about that. I knew there was that house.
Then, between that and the Pearsons.
Yeah. Well, you have our thoughts and prayers, Rocker. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit.
We're
going to kind of touch on Rocker's top 10. And it sort of involves the good Sheriff Gray here, too. So we will be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our 3 Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good about doing it. Ferris commercial grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more work done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Ferris, work hard, feel good.
Hey Buckeyes fans, as part of the one-of-a-kind auction, they'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the Ohio State-Miami University football game that will be played in Columbus on September 21st. These tickets were donated by Mr. Joe Beatty, who is a descendant of two of the soldiers who fought at the Battle of the Wabash here in Fort Recovery, one of whom is buried at our monument. Chances to win these tickets are only $5, and they can be purchased at Calp Pharmacy, and they'll also be sold at the home football and volleyball games. So don't miss your chance to win 2 tickets to the Buckeyes and Miami Redhawks football game in Columbus on September 21st. The winner will be drawn at the home football game versus Minster on Friday, September 13th. For only $5 a chance, you could be heading to Columbus for the Ohio State-Miami football game on September 21st. So get your tickets early and often.
We're back. Jack Sogler, Rocker Bonville, and Sheriff Jeff Gray. And we're going to cover Rocker's top 10.
Okay.
And this week it is what?
Top 10 people least likely to commit a crime.
Okay. In Fort Recovery?
Well, in general.
Just in general.
So does that include speeding?
Least likely, you're probably not on that, Jack.
I would say
he speeds every day.
Most of these people are from Fort Recovery, so.
All right. Number 10.
Sigh pot cutter.
Sigh? Oh.
Oh, he's crooked as can be.
He is crooked.
He's a shyster.
I don't trust that guy. Okay, but size okay. All right. I'll take that one.
Number nine, Tim Combs.
Tim Combs. From Trusty Woods.
Yep.
Good choice.
Okay. Number eight, Dean Zerner.
Dean Zerner.
I saw him throw a straw wrapper out the window. That's littering.
So why Dean Zerner?
I just throw names.
Why not Dean Zerner? You think he's up to something like I am? Like I think so?
Maybe when he's younger, he probably did some damage.
Shenanigans, but probably not crimes.
Number seven, a name that we all know. Carol Kemper.
Carol Kemper.
I saw her go left of center on her bicycle.
There have been times where I think she might be able to get loitering up at the new Casey store.
Loitering.
Yes. Or abusing the free refills on her slushie.
Is this punishable by, for jail time, Jeff?
Which, it might be. It might, but if she shares a slushie with me, maybe
all not. Right, you're okay then.
Number six, Kathleen Fuller.
Kathleen?
Yeah.
She's wanted to beat the crap out of you many times.
Me? Yeah. Why?
Huh?
Why me, of all people?
You give her a lot of crap at times. So,
okie dokie.
So I'm not, you know.
But would that be a crime or would that be a public service?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Sorry, Rocker.
A name I know you love. Number five, Marianne Remacles.
Yeah, Marianne never done anything wrong in her life.
She's gold.
That's a good choice. What a sweetheart.
And number four.
Uh-oh.
What do you do?
I'm doing this to kind of rouse Bill up at home. Angelica Hines.
Angelica Hines.
She's not.
That's a good one.
She's not going to be a criminal, you don't think?
Not likely.
Yep.
Number three, Ross Wendell.
Oh.
What?
You mean, do you mean not likely to get arrested in the next hour?
Ross Wendell. least likely to get in trouble.
That is the worst ever. That's the dumbest one ever.
So it goes from Marianne Remacles to Ross Wendell.
Wow.
Holy crap. Where did you come up with that?
Just for this response right here.
Okay. Did you just pull names out of the phone book? Is that how you got that? Or off your Facebook friends list? Does he give you more likes than anybody? Is that why you're buttering him up like that? Because that's a wrong choice.
Well,
go ahead.
It'll make up. The next two will make up for that one.
All right.
Okay.
Number two, another name that everybody loves, Rosie Zerner.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to be doing too many damage for a while.
Nope. I don't believe she ever did.
So how did you get Ross between those two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to kind of liven things up a little bit.
it worked.
Well, Rosie will liven things up.
And number one.
Oh, Betty Bechdel.
Who?
Betty Bechdel.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her coast through a stop sign.
Well, I could have put Dirksen in here.
Well, that is impeding traffic. He does that all the time.
Neil seems to know everything everybody's done wrong. I need to put him on our little snitch list. Yeah.
So does that make him an accomplice to a certain extent?
It's all recorded.
That's right. It is recorded. So.
Did we want to throw in the shout-out thing? Or
yes. Rocker's shout-out of the week?
Goes to a guy that is going through some rough times lately, but he's a basketball staple, Les Johnson.
Yep.
Good choice.
Going through some bad times right now, but he's battling through it with his usual flair and, you know, gut and determination, and
yep.
Hopefully he gets better quick.
Yep.
That's a fantastic choice, Ron.
He has gone from home to...
Do we have a phone call?
Yeah, this is... I'm pretty sure this is
I got
something that I probably don't want to answer. because I'm pretty sure it's a scam.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and I usually record those.
I thought it was Bill calling.
No, I usually record those and yeah. tell them they're being recorded and let them know that we might use it on the air. And in almost every one of those cases, they cuss at me and hang up first.
Yeah.
And I love doing that
to
them.
That's good.
I'll spend however long it takes when they start asking for Social Security number or any credit card number. I just start saying numbers and I don't quit until they cuss at me and hang up. So, anyway.
So, Sheriff Gray, welcome back to Fort Recovery.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I feel a little bad you haven't invited me to the new place. It's been a long time.
I know it. It has been a while.
It must have been a slow night on your thing for tonight that you called me and you went, "We don't have anybody, so I got to get a hold of Jeff. I bet I can talk him into it."
The first five people turned me down. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, part of our new process for the guests is that they have to stump the rocker. And they, so what they have to do is I'm going to give you five. Okay, the topic this week is dates that criminals died. Okay?
I'm in trouble already.
Yeah.
You're going to give me the dates?
No. I'm going to give you the criminal, and you give me the year and the month that they died.
As close as you can get.
And then by month.
I might not even be in the right decade.
Well, how most of it's been.
Yeah, that's the way most of it is.
But Rocker will tell you most of the time, then Rocker has no idea who he's going to ask.
I know. Who
he's going to say.
So, you guys know I don't trust you guys, and Rocker probably had this ahead of time.
You know, I can promise you he can do this all the time.
I'd love to see Rocker get his ass beat.
Yes. So,
all right. So we're going to start. I'll tell you what, we'll only do three of them, and then I'll save one for the tiebreaker. Okay.
So you want to write them down?
Yes. So you write down the date that you think these people died. The first one, Bonnie and Clyde.
I'm pretty sure I can get the decade.
Year?
I don't even know if I can do that.
The second one, Ted Bundy. Rocker, if like you get any of these right, I'm going to reach across here and slap you upside the
head. If he gets any of them wrong, I'll be surprised.
I know. Let's do Al Capone.
Think I can get the decade on that one, too. Nope, I was thinking John Dillinger. So I might be wrong.
Oh. And they were about the same time frame, wasn't they?
I think one of them got out of prison and died later.
Oh. So.
I could be wrong.
All right. So, we're going to start with Bonnie and Clyde, okay? Jeff?
I'm not sure I'm coming back to your show.
Give me a year.
1936.
Ooh, Rocker?
1934.
See, so even that, you're
at least in the...
A month.
August?
That's what I've got, August.
It was in May of 1934. Rocker wins that one.
Well, I wasn't too far.
No, so you were.
I'm proud of myself.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Normally, that would be a winner.
Yes.
Against anybody else, that would be a winner.
Be a winner. Neil, What would you have said?
I would have said 34, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah, after he has the answer. I'd have said 34. I would have said 34, too. Now.
I said 34, 5, 6, or 7 is what I said.
Ted Bundy.
1990.
Rocker.
December of 1979.
What?
December of 1979.
Uh-oh. January of 1989.
Ooh. Oh, I win.
You win.
Oh.
This has never happened before.
One for the good guy.
Ooh. This is the tiebreaker. Rocker's going down.
Uh-oh. Here we go. The sheriff's going to do him in.
Al Capone.
I struggled with that one because I said 1926, February of 26.
February 26, Rocker.
1941.
January 25th, 1947.
I was thinking that he was the one that lived into the 1940s.
Yeah.
I would have guessed 45, 6, 7, 8, somewhere near, but I was thinking he was the one. I think Dillinger was the one that was shot outside the
theater.
What
was Jesse James doing when he got killed?
Whizzing.
Huh? What was Jesse James doing when he got killed?
He was whizzing.
Whizzing? No.
He's hanging a picture.
He was hanging a picture.
Is that correct?
You know this.
Is that correct?
That is right.
Jeez.
He was hanging a picture.
You got too much time on your hands.
He has a lot of time. So,
oh, man.
So the beat goes on. You are the first one that beat Rocker in any question. Congratulations. You don't get anything.
Yeah. But our new superintendent came very close on two of them.
Came very close. And,
or maybe even all three. But.
And RJ the DJ did, too.
Yes, he did very well.
So. You know, I met the new superintendent the other day. He came up to the sheriff's office just to introduce himself. Seems like a great guy.
Yes.
Really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So far, there is no complaints from anybody I've heard.
Fantastic.
And I don't expect any.
Yeah.
So, yep.
He's Larry Brown, coach of the Kansas Jayhawks.
Now, I think maybe Larry Brown should have been on your list of least likely to get arrested.
Yes.
Okie dokie.
So he's still hurting because I got the question right and he was wrong.
He's crushed.
Yep.
So, Jeff, how's things been?
Pretty good.
Good?
Pretty good.
How's the wife and kids?
I got the best wife in the world. She's always looking out for me. And
married for how long?
35 years.
35
just
years.
A couple weeks ago, August 25th, it was 35 years. And I would do it again. I hope you're listening, hon.
Yeah.
And just to kind of help out a little bit here, he got that answer correct. That's a lot more important than any of those other questions
that's
you asked.
Most important.
That is the most important question that he's answered.
Yeah.
That one he got exactly correct.
And your boys?
Eric is 32, Nick's 30, both of them married to wonderful girls. And then the most important is I got grandkids. They are cool.
Is there anything better than... So you've got four grandkids?
We have four grandkids right now. Eric's got a girl and a boy, and Nick's got a girl and a boy, and Nick's expecting a boy in December.
Ah, how cool.
So we had the little baby girls. Both of them had girls first, so it was 2-0, but the boys are going to take over December.
Cool bean. So, and are they close enough you get to see them a lot?
Yeah. Nick and Amy live probably 3 miles from our house, and Eric and Jess are over in Yorktown. So a little bit further of a drive, but close enough you can run over on a weeknight and evening. And fantastic. I was actually over there last night and watched Haley play soccer.
Oh, well, I mean, it's awesome that they're that close. I'm not sure. Having to sit and watch soccer games is a...
Well, especially four-year-olds. There was times...
Oh, wow.
There's times where the ball rolls by and you're yelling, kick it, kick it, and the coaches are out there on the field going, no, no, the other way. We're going the other way. But you know what? Grandpa wouldn't miss it for the world.
That's the truth. I, you know, not many people know this, but I was one of Fort Recovery's first soccer coaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's why it didn't catch on.
I would say that that's why we have a football team. Yeah, but I... you know, I had two plays, run and kick. That was as, you know, that was as much as I could even begin to try to teach them. So, and you are completing, or you're in the middle of what year of being sheriff?
At the end of this year, I have been sheriff for 19 years.
For, no kidding.
Yeah.
And you were Fort Recovery's police chief for how long?
For 4 years.
For 4 years. No, you've been sheriff for 19 years, and that's the longest tenured sheriff ever?
In Mercer County, yes. Jerry Sunderhaus was sheriff from 1960 to 1976, so he had 16 years. And Joe Gilmore from 77 to 91. So it would be me, then Cherry, then Joe Gilmore.
And that's pretty good and company.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It really is. Your term ends...
at the end of next year.
The end of next year.
So next year's election year, 2020's election year.
So you're going to run again?
I've already filed my paperwork.
No kidding.
To go one more time. Sometimes I go, I'm getting old, but I still enjoy it. And I'll tell you what, there's no better group of people than the men and women that work up there at the sheriff's office. A lot of times I just need to stay out of the way and let them do their thing. There's a lot of good people up there. And so my thoughts are one more time, and then it'll be time to pass it on.
So you, when you get to a certain stage in your career, is it really more, I mean, and I know that you've got a lot of things to do, but does there come a time when it's more about developing the people that are under you and watching them grow, and that's where the satisfaction comes from?
Yeah, absolutely. When I took over as sheriff, there was a lot of things that I wanted to change, and working through that and changing. And of course, you know, sheriff's an elected position, so you win the election and you walk into an office where half the people want you to be there and the other half not so much. Yeah. And so by the time you work through it, but you know, I've been between being chief deputy up there and being sheriff, we've only got three people that work there out of 70 that I didn't have a finger in hiring.
Yeah.
And the three that I didn't have a finger in are good employees.
Yeah.
One of them, the longest one, is Connie Cook. She's a dispatcher. She was actually hired by Joe Gilmore.
No kidding.
So she's been there a long time, and I don't know what her plans are. I know that she's eligible to retire. I think she likes it. I think she's planning on staying for a little while. And Jay Workamp from Fort Recovery, he was hired by Paul Gray, who was the sheriff before me. And Lori Kanapke, and she's part of my administration. She's in charge of the civil division and courthouse security and transport. She does a great job.
So it seems like there's been more, and I'll tell you what, maybe it's the social media thing, but it seems like there's been more announcements of hirings and promotions in the past couple years than what we used to see. Is the sheriff's office in a transition?
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of retirements. You know, in law enforcement, you can go after 25 years. Some people go 30. But there's been a lot of retirements. And then, you know, the thing that I've seen change over the years, when I got into law enforcement, and a lot of us older guys, we got into law enforcement, it was a career. We knew that's what we wanted to do. We were willing to move, do whatever it took to get the job, and then we wanted to be in that job. And I think we're seeing a lot of people now that, you know, law enforcement's come under attack across the country.
Without a doubt.
So, you know, it's a job where you go, okay, this is a middle-income job. Do you really want to take the chance of being attacked for the middle job. Income thing, and yeah, like you say, doing your job. Now, anybody that's out there that's listening, that's thinking about it, I'll also tell you it's a rewarding job.
Yeah.
And I hope that it's a good career. I mean, you're not going to get rich unless you buy a lottery ticket and get the right one doing it. But you'll have a decent income. You'll have a good retirement system. It's a good career to go into. But I see a lot of people that we're hiring a lot of people that are just looking for a job instead of a career.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of that. I think it's that way in a lot of law enforcement agencies right now.
Well, you know what? And I think that that's kind of the nature of the next generation is they're not afraid to try something. If it doesn't work out, they'll try something different.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, so
unless you're the sheriff trying to hire people and keep them. But I mean, you know, I have had some people that leave. I had two guys that worked in corrections. Their goal in life was to be probation officers. And Judge Zitter come to me one day and went, I don't want to make you mad, but I'm going to steal two of your guys. And I hated to lose them because they were great employees. But, you know, you get some satisfaction out of that's where they wanted to be. And I hope the sheriff's office helped them to get there. And Judge Zitter got two good employees there. I mean, it was a hole I had to fill. But, you know, it's just like Fort Recovery. I came down here after I was chief deputy for 4 years. I learned a lot about small towns, and there's a lot of stuff that I learned at Fort Recovery that I think helps me be a better sheriff than had I not done those 4 years down here. And so, you know, hopefully Mayor Wolf was who hired me. Hopefully I'm making him proud as sheriff, and hopefully he realizes that, you know, I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me, and hopefully he was happy I was able to reach my goal.
So how old were you when Mayor Wolf hired you?
36.
Okay.
I got elected sheriff when I was 40. I was actually one of the youngest sheriffs in the state at the time. And now I'm getting close to being one of the older guys. A lot of them that I hang around with, like Sheriff Solomon over in Auglaize County. And if he's listening, he is 2 years older than I am. But great guy, and it kind of tore me up a couple weeks ago. He asked me to come over and told me he wasn't going to run again. And it's like, wait a minute. What am I going to do?
But, well, and I saw where, I think it's the Shelby County
Sheriff Lenhart. Yep.
Yeah. Now he's 80, I believe, isn't he?
Sheriff Lenhart's 74.
74, okay.
Yeah. I think when you're saying, I think you're thinking of Sheriff Radcliffe, and he retired, and I think it was 60. Sheriff Radcliffe from Pickaway County was the longest serving sheriff in the United States. He was the sheriff for 48 years. I don't mean career-wise like being a deputy. I mean, he was the sheriff. And his dad was sheriff for 36 years before him.
No kidding.
Wow.
And his son is the sheriff now, Robbie Radcliffe.
Wow.
I mean, they've got a dynasty going there. But I'll tell you, the Radcliffe family, good people.
Yeah.
Good people.
That's good. So you talked about, you know, you did a little spiel there where you were trying to, you know, drum up applicants, you know, or, you know, people interested in getting into, you know, law enforcement. And then I read, I don't know if it was in the paper or where I saw it, about, you know, Sheriff Gray is reconsidering his approach to tattoos.
Yeah.
So did the response to that kind of surprise you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, when that come out, if people read the article, I was asking for input. Social media is sometimes frustrating because then you look at social media and people's beating me up where it's like, okay, I'm allowed to have my opinion that I don't really like tattoos. I'm saying we're looking at this policy, and I want your input. You don't have to tell me how bad of a guy I am. Just tell me whether you like tattoos or not. And it's interesting because I did get quite a bit of response, yeah, some from phone calls and people I've seen. And it's the people close to my age and older are saying, no, absolutely, don't change that policy. Yeah. And the younger people, of course, they, like you say, they look at things a little different, and they're saying, no, what's wrong with that? Yeah. And, you know, the thing for us in law enforcement, we want to have a professional appearance.
Yeah.
So does a tattoo diminish the professional appearance? And I guess that's in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah.
We're
going to come back. We're going to talk about the eyes of the beholder and, you know, different views of that. Neil says it's time for a break, so we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Okay. Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Have you ever wondered how a law enforcement agency works? The Mercer County Sheriff's Department will be holding their 6th annual Citizens Academy from October 22nd through November 14th, and sessions will usually be held 2 evenings a week for those 4 weeks. If you're interested in attending this year's Citizens Academy, just go to mercercountysheriff.org to get your application packet and return it by Tuesday, September 24th. Class size is limited, so get your application packet now. Classes will begin at 6 p.m. and will last for 2 to 3 hours per session. Participants will attend classes that are in lecture format, observe demonstrations, take tours of the facilities, and participate in hands-on training sessions, and you'll also have the opportunity to job shadow with staff members. The academy is open to residents of Mercer County who are at least 21 years old, and you'll be required to pass a background check. If you're interested in attending this session of the Citizens Academy, you can stop at the Sheriff's Office during office hours or go to their website at mercercountysheriff.org to get your application packet. Completed applications will need to be returned to the Sheriff's Office by Tuesday, September 24th. If you have questions, please contact Citizens Academy Coordinator Sergeant Jay Wertkamp at 419-586-7724.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler with Sheriff Jeff Gray, Rocker.
Yeah.
All right. So, before we get back to the tattoo thing, the ad that was just on talked about the Citizens Academy.
Yes.
What is that?
It's actually a thing where citizens of Mercer County can come to it. They have to apply and come to it. But people don't realize what the sheriff's office does. Everybody thinks about the black cars with the gold stars on the door. And they don't realize that's actually not the largest division of the sheriff's office. And actually, the enforcement division is optional because law enforcement's a function of the municipalities and the townships. So, like our jail division is the largest division. So we bring people up and we show them what we do. People don't realize how many houses we sell on foreclosures, extraditions. Last week I had two employees go to Michigan. The week before that we were in Florida. We've been to Texas this year.
And that's bringing people back?
Bringing inmates back. Bringing people back that we have warrants for, basically. So we do this and we have the people that are in charge of the different divisions. They basically, it's a class. Some of it is lecture. We have a class where we have the detectives. They'll teach you about DNA. They'll show you how to take fingerprints. We'll fly the drone and you can see what the drone stuff. We even take them out to the range where they can shoot the firearms. Now, it's people that don't want to shoot the firearms aren't required to do it. We've had some people go, well, I'd kind of like to come and watch, but I don't want to shoot it. And then when they get out there and see everybody else having a good time, they go, well, can I try? Yeah. You know, and I've got some very good range officers that do that. We let them do ride-alongs. They can work a few hours in the jail with the correction staff. They can be in dispatch with that. They can go out and patrol.
Really?
with the deputies. And everybody likes it. We've even had a couple people that have come and went through the second time.
Really?
And then every couple of years we do, and we'll probably do this again next spring, we do a Citizens Academy reunion where we invite everybody from all the Citizens Academies to come in because, like, the first time we did a Citizens Academy, we didn't have any canines. And, you know, we just got a drone a couple of years ago. So we bring people in. We now have a traffic reconstruction and crime scene truck that nobody's seen that before. This Citizens Academy will get to see it. So we do the reunion. We bring people in. We go, hey, here's the new stuff we got.
Yeah.
It's a good time. And it helps people understand what we do and why we do it.
Do you let them tase each other?
Actually, and I hope Jay Workcamp is listening. Jay Workcamp coordinates this for us. And the last couple of years, he's been silly enough. And I'll say he's from Fort Recovery. You guys need to be careful here. And he lets them tase him. And it's like, okay, Jay, if you're crazy enough to do that. And every time he does it, he goes, I don't think I'll do that next year. But then he turns around and does it. And it
But
Jack, if you want to come up and find out what a taser is like, we'll let you do it this year.
I might even
pull the trigger.
I don't think I will. So at the end of the six-week thing or whatever it is, I mean, this is more of a public relations community involvement, engagement type thing.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't make you a deputy sheriff. It doesn't. It's an educational thing. Now, having said that, I've got a dispatcher, Rachel Williams, who didn't know anything about law enforcement. She actually had worked, I think, at UPS. She came, went to the Citizens Academy. We had an opening in dispatch, and she applied. When I just fell in love with it when I was sitting in there. We hired her. She's a great dispatcher. So in a little way, it's a recruiting tool. I just hired a guy that went through the Citizens Academy. And from him talking to his son, who's 22, I think, his son developed an interest in law enforcement, and he's worked for me probably for a month now. He's in a jail doing a good job. So, you know, we get a little bit a benefit out of it that way, too.
Does he have any tattoos?
No.
So it has been like... like, you know, sheriff office policy to not hire people with tattoos.
Right. And in all honesty, I mean, it's been our policy, but it's also been the policy of law enforcement agencies nationwide. Now, the larger agencies relaxed it a long time. You know, we typically follow the larger agencies. They do something, and we go, I don't understand why they're doing that. And 5, 6, 7 years later, we go, well, we got to do it, too, because we're having now the same problems. And I do have a couple of people. We relaxed it a couple of years ago where people could have a tattoo, but they have to keep it covered.
Yeah.
And since, I mean, I sent out an email, I don't know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and asked employees. I said, I want to know what you guys think. Had a couple of employees come in my office and go, are you feeling okay? Yeah, why? Well, I just want to make sure, because you sent that email out. I think I surprised him. But the couple of people that I have that have small tattoos, one guy's got a tattoo on his wrist that him and his wife got the same tattoo. They got married on a beach. Mm-hmm. So it means something to them. I've got a girl that works there, and she's very close to her mom. Her and her mom have the same tattoo. And I looked at them and I went, okay, those don't look bad. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I am an old fuddy-duddy and I need to get with the times.
Well, you know, and I think as you get older, and you're not as old as I am, but, you know, the way you look at certain things that you believe for a long, long time, you know, you start kind of looking at it and saying, all right, maybe... You know, not everybody with a tattoo is a biker, drug thug type person.
Exactly. You know? And you know, that's been part of my, I guess, bias. I go back, you know, I'm in the jail a lot, and I go back there. Well, all of the inmates have tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I don't need to look like that. But... You know, I was never in the military, but I have a very soft spot. I got a lot of respect for those men and women that protect us. And a lot of them have a tattoo of their branches. My dad had a tattoo. He was a Marine.
Yeah.
And I know just a couple days before he died, he was sick and I was there and we were talking about his tattoo because he always told me, don't you ever do that. That was a drunk night right when I was getting out of the Marines. But he was always proud of being a Marine.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I would talk and go, and we'd talk about him being in the Marines, if I ever made the mistake of saying, yeah, my dad was a Marine, he would correct me and he'd go, no, I am a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And I guess part of that probably came from Dad going, don't you ever get a tattoo. I remember telling my sons, don't you dare bring home a girlfriend that's got tattoos. Yeah. Don't do that. If they have them, I better not see them. But now I'm sitting here going, okay, the special meanings to people that I didn't recognize. And then I think about things and it's like, you know, the people that I have that have some tattoos are pretty good employees. So are we missing some people that would be good? So I think we're gonna loosen it up. Now, if they have big tattoos and stuff, you know, they make those, I call them sleeves, that go over them now that are close to skin tone. We'll probably make them cover them up. Just because, you know, when it comes down to it, if there's an emergency and you need help, you don't care what the person looks like that comes to help you. But the truth is, the majority of calls we go on aren't emergencies.
Right.
We're coming and taking a report, or we're doing things like that. So, you know, there's a balancing act, and my job, I mean, I work for the people of this county. So I have to listen to what they say and try to run it the way they want. And there's a split right now between the older generation and the younger generation, which makes it a little difficult for me to decide.
So.
But one last recruiting tip.
Yes, sir.
If you have a tattoo, as long as it's not offensive, don't hesitate to apply at the sheriff's office. Because we're looking now. But that's the other issue with tattoos. What's not offensive today could be offensive next year.
Yeah. True.
And who decides?
Yeah. So if you have a Trump tattoo.
Oh, you're in.
You're in.
What about a swastika in the middle of your forehead?
No, you're out. And that is one thing that.
That's prejudice.
Yeah. Everybody has agreed no face, neck, or hand tattoos. I mean, so that's kind of where we're at right now. And the public's telling me that, and my employees are telling me that.
Yeah, and I mean, that approach seems like it makes sense. So as we look at other issues in the county, okay, it seems like from you reading the paper and what you hear, that the opioid heroin thing has peaked and is on a downward trend. True?
I would say we're seeing less heroin and stuff. We're seeing some marijuana and stuff laced with fentanyl. And you know, fentanyl is very deadly. But I think we're seeing less of. We're seeing a shift to more methamphetamine. And methamphetamine is bad, but it doesn't tend to be as deadly as heroin was. And I think some of the downward trend, I would say some of it is because the judge tried to help people, and the people that didn't get the message and kept getting arrested are now sitting in prison. Sadly, some of them have died. And I think that's some of, and then I guess another sad thing is when you don't see it on the front page of the paper, it's because it's kind of become a routine thing for law enforcement, and not just in Mercer County. Mercer County is not any worse than any other county with drugs. We just, right or wrong, we chose to be very public about it. And I guess that's my personality. I'm pretty wide open about when we do something right, I tell you about it. When we do something wrong, we take the hit for it and we talk about it. And, you know, I think it's become a routine thing where there's been enough arrests made, it's not considered a front page article anymore.
Yeah. So you talked about the meth stuff. And the fentanyl laced pot. Okay. So is that what's next? As far as
I think the meth is the next big thing. I think a lot of the stuff with the fentanyl, people don't realize it's got fentanyl in it. You know, they're going to Dayton, they're going to some of the cities, and they're buying their drugs, and the drug dealers are competing with the other drug dealers. I mean, because let's face it, it's a business, and they're competing with other drug dealers, so they'll lace it with the fentanyl to try to get a better high. And so I think a lot of time, you know, then if you went and bought your drugs from me and I had it laced with just enough fentanyl, you think you're getting a better batch from me than you are the other guy. The problem is, if I get a little too much in there, you're going to die.
So is that a reason to legalize it?
I tell you what, I am very opposed to legalizing the drugs. I wrestle with the medical marijuana. Now, having said that, like I keep telling the deputies, you know, we think marijuana is bad because we're cops and that's what we were taught in police school, and we were taught go arrest them for this. We really don't know. And I'm not in a position to argue with a doctor that says somebody needs it. And the other thing is, you know, I've been fortunate. My family hasn't had a lot of illness and stuff. And you hear the things with people having seizures and chronically ill patients with their pain and all that. I hate to deprive them of that kind of stuff, if it'll help them.
Yeah.
I don't want to see marijuana just completely legalized. I mean, we talked to sheriffs out in Colorado. They have a mess out there. I mean, you know, it's just pretty, you can go buy marijuana almost like you can buy a beer, and it's become a mess for them. And I think it would be a bad thing to legalize it recreationally. And, you know, just recently with Senate Bill 57, they legalized hemp and the CBD oils and that kind of stuff. Again, good, bad, I don't know. It creates a little issue for us because hemp is really very low-grade marijuana. I mean, if it's got less than 0.3% of THC, it's now hemp instead of marijuana. Well, our dogs hit on hemp just like they do marijuana. And when a dog hits on something, when a canine hits, you know, the canine gives us a signal that there's drugs in the car, but they don't go, it's heroin or it's marijuana. And so it's creating some issues for law enforcement just because, okay, now our dog is trained to sniff out something that's legal.
Yeah.
And we can't untrain them.
So you talked earlier about how many calls your deputies get and how spread out they are. And you know, so is there a benefit to and you know what, maybe you don't legalize it, you decriminalize it like you know some of these cities have, to where at least your guys don't have to worry about kind of chasing that stuff.
Well, I think that would get law enforcement not chasing it, but I think it would get that stuff in your communities and needles on the streets, and now it's something for us to worry about our grandkids coming across and our grandkids doing. And then if somebody uses too much and they overdose and die, we're going to go to that. And, you know, alcohol is legal, but people that abuse alcohol take up an awful lot of our resources as we're investigating domestics, as we're investigating drunk drivers and traffic crashes. So I don't know that it would take a lot away from us. We just wouldn't be out trying to arrest the people with it or arrest the people that are selling it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your 19-year career and the high points and low points to a certain extent. So we'll be back right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Here are the great specials that Wayne Street Market has for you through this Thursday, September 12th. They have boneless pork chops for $3.99 a pound and ground chuck for $3.49 a pound. And in the deli, they have coleslaw and American potato salad for $2.49 a pound. And if you're still doing some grilling, they have some great steaks at great prices. T-bones for $5.99 a pound, New York strips at $6.99 a pound, ribeyes for $8.99 a pound, and filet mignon for only $9.99 a pound. These are all available in their grab and go case. And be sure to check out their great selection of winter's meats. Get to Wayne Street Market and get in on these great prices. Good through this Thursday, September 12th. You can always count on great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host the Delphi St. John's Lady Blue Jays and will be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of that match. On Friday, it's football, with our Indians hosting Minster in the first MAC game of the season. Jeff and Joe will bring you all the action live from Baron Boogie Field, with the pregame show starting around 6:40. Then on Saturday, it's the Lady Indians hosting Arcanum with a 10 a.m. JV start time. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that match.
Lots of sports this week, so get out to all the games you can to cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Pre-sale tickets for this Friday's home football game with Minster can be purchased tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. in the middle school office, then from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. On Friday, pre-sale tickets can be purchased from 7:45 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the high school office. Be sure to get your tickets ahead of time and save yourself some time and money. Pre-sale tickets are only $4 for students and $6 for adults. All tickets at the gate will be $7 for both adults and students. There are no pre-sale tickets for our volleyball matches.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Chef Jeff Gray, Rocker. Rocker, I think you had a question for me.
Yes.
Sure.
Obviously, you got to take everything, every call serious, right?
Right.
How do you decipher the real emergencies from, let's say, the quack who wants to do stupid stuff?
The quack. I don't think I let my employees call them that, but okay.
But, you know, the ones who, you know, just call for dumb...
Well, yeah, and that's one of the tough parts. The dispatchers kind of screen that stuff, try to get as much information as they can. But, you know, even the guy that calls in 15 times a week, you got to take the call serious because you never know when the call that he's calling in on is really going to be something serious.
But there's a penalty for if it's not an emergency, right?
There is if somebody's doing it intentionally. Like, there's a section of law, misuse of 911. But, you know, we got to use a lot of discretion with that because sometimes, you know, for us, if you hit a deer on the road and you're not hurt, to us, that's not an emergency. We're going to come take a report, but that's not an emergency. But to you, it might be a big deal. You got a big dent in your car. You've got, so people call 911, and that's okay.
Is there a number you would give them other than the...
Well, the sheriff's office number is 586-7724, and central dispatch is 586-6455. Now, the interesting thing... when I became sheriff, they used to, if you called 911, as soon as the dispatcher determined it wasn't an emergency, they would say, you need to hang up and call in on, and they'd give you the phone numbers. Well, the crazy thing to me, and I stopped that pretty quick, because it's the same people answering the phone. I mean, it's like, so you made them hang up and call back, and you answered the phone, and now you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
The difference with 911 is if you call 911, the phone line, the ring is different. So we know that's a 911 call. And the dispatchers, we require them to answer that within three rings. Because actually, for the person on the other end, it rings twice before it rings to us as the computers are gathering your location and all that.
Really?
So if we get it on the first ring, you think we got it on the third ring. So the dispatchers do a pretty good job of you know, digging through that and sending things out. And now we've got computers in our cars, so we can send messages straight to the cars with what's going on and that kind of stuff. And actually, like in my cruiser I got out here, if somebody calls in and calls in on the phone, leaves me a voicemail, it goes to my email. I can listen to it on my phone or I can listen to it in my car and decide whether I'm going to call back or not. But, I mean, the dispatchers have a tough job, you know, and sometimes they don't get a break from people. But it's like they're going through the same emotions as deputies are because they hear about the bad crash. They got people screaming at them in their ear that they need help. And the dispatchers can't really see what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically taking the call blind just from what people are telling them. And we'll get people that will call in and they'll be all worked up and they call in and we think, man, this has to be, say, a bad traffic crash. And so we send everything we got, and we get there, and it's really not that bad. It's just that person's personality, or maybe they haven't seen a crash before. And then we get some people that are really relaxed, and they don't tell us everything, and we get there and go, oh, my gosh, send more ambulances, send the fire trucks. We need help.
Yeah. So are the dispatchers, is there a certain type of training that they receive, you know, as, you know, like as far as how to evaluate those types of things?
Yeah, they actually, we have a 3-month program. If you got hired as a dispatcher, we have a 3-month program that you're going to go through before you're in there by yourself. And another, a seasoned dispatcher, if you're answering the calls, has headphones on like this, and they're listening to it to make sure we don't mess it up. And then we, at the sheriff's office, we do what's called emergency medical dispatching. So if somebody calls in for an ambulance or whatever, and if somebody's bleeding bad, they can tell you how to stop the bleed. Okay. If somebody's having a heart attack, they will give you instructions over the phone on how to do CPR, you know, how to do the Heimlich maneuver if somebody's choking, things like that. At the same time, I could not dispatch. I couldn't do what those girls do. I mean, because they're giving directions on the phone, and they're dispatching EMS and fire departments all at the same time. They're keeping it straight in their head.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have more than one call going at a time. And I mean, that is a high-stress job. And the people we got doing that are top rate.
Yeah.
And actually, if there's emergencies going on, I don't spend much time in dispatch because I can watch it and see everything from my desk. I mean, I can see where the cars are at. I can see the technology is so good about that stuff. And it used to be I would go into dispatch and I would stand there and observe so I could tell them. And then one time the dispatchers told me, you know, you make us nervous. We got the boss standing over our shoulder.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, that's the last thing I need to do is make them nervous. They know what they're doing. I don't.
Yeah.
They don't need me making them nervous where they make a mistake.
Yeah.
So when it gets crazy in there, I get out of there. And sometimes if I don't get out of there, they tell me to get out of there, which is okay. I mean,
and it's good to listen to them.
Right.
They know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things going on right now is President Trump is evaluating gun control. He's trying to figure out what he wants to propose. Does the sheriff's organization have a stand on that?
Are you asking for mine or the sheriff's organization?
Well, let's ask for both.
Yeah, well, the BSSA, the Buckeye State Sheriff's Association, which I'm a past president of, it's a great organization. And, of course, Governor DeWine. And Governor DeWine and I are friends. I mean, I've known him for a long time. Governor DeWine is trying to do things in response to what happened in Dayton.
Sure.
And daggone it, we have to get people to quit shooting people. I'm not a believer. That gun doesn't, you know, I've got guns, and my guns haven't killed anybody. They don't just go off.
Yeah.
And my conversation with the governor and my conversation at the Sheriff's Association is, why are we focused on the gun? The real issue, and to me, what we got to figure out, why do people want to kill people?
Yeah.
I mean, what is causing these people to want to go out and kill people? I never get up in the morning and go, hey, I want to go do this. I want to go hurt a bunch of people. So there's something wrong that we've got people thinking that way. And I think, in my opinion, that's where we need to focus our energy, is figuring out mental health system and figuring out, okay, what are we doing in society that makes people want to do that? You know, sometimes it's people that have been bullied. Well, we need to get people to quit bullying them. But taking guns away, you know, first off, the Second Amendment was not put in the Constitution so that we could go hunting. Or we, the Second Amendment was put in the Constitution so we could protect ourselves from the government.
Yeah.
And I believe that sometimes why other governments, why World War II didn't come here is because not only can our military shoot back, our citizens can shoot back. And so, you know, I don't, and I'm not a huge, I mean, I'm not a hunter, I'm not, but I think people's ability to have the guns it is important. Now, Governor DeWine, you know, everybody talks about red flag laws, and Governor DeWine is not proposing a red flag law. Is if somebody said, if my wife said Jeff's dangerous and he's got guns, then the police could come and confiscate the guns, and then in 14 days or whenever the court gets around it, we would have a hearing. But during that 14 days, I don't have guns. What Governor DeWine is proposing is if that happens, it has to go to the county prosecutor, who evaluates it, and then he files in court, so a judge has to hear it. And both sides, it wouldn't be ex parte, meaning that somebody's not there. Both sides have to be there, and then the judge decides. Then if the judge decides that somebody's a danger, then the judge is going to issue an order, and then we'd have to go take the guns. But at least then you've had a neutral arbitrator decide.
There's a due process.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's now the Sheriff's Association is taking a little different approach to it, partially in response. You know, we represent sheriffs from the big cities too, and their viewpoint's different than it is here in rural Mercer County.
Yeah, yeah. So we, you know, we've talked about, you know, you're 3/4 of the way through your 19th year. So as you look back, what was your worst day, and what are you most proud of?
Well, I think absolutely my worst day was just this past year. We had an inmate who was on drugs. And a lot of times when they're on drugs, they defecate themselves. And he said that he had done that while one of the corrections officers got him out to take him to the shower thing. And he attacked the corrections officers. And actually was it corrections officers carry tasers. The inmate was able to gain control of the tasers. And, of course, they have no other weapons in the jail. And I had two corrections officers get hurt pretty bad. They were off for a while. This happened, I want to say, in April. And one of the corrections officers, she's back to work, but she's probably going to have some surgery. She's still having problems. And, of course, we have that all on video. And you know, watching your employees... People don't understand what law enforcement goes through, and they were definitely at a position of disadvantage. Thankfully, Salina Police Department got out there right away. Deputies got out there right away. And when the bad guy figured out that, well, we don't bring guns in the jail, this time we're bringing guns in the jail, and we got guns and you got a taser. And that guy, once he got off his drugs and he got sobered up in the jail, went in and pled guilty. Judge Ingram sent a message. He got 18 years for that. But it's hard to see your employees in that position. I got good people up there. And, you know, it's hard. And they called me at home and said, we have two corrections officers that are being held hostage. So before they were released, so I'm screaming in there, trying to get in there. And of course, at that point, I'm kind of like the dispatcher because I'm being fed information, but I can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the deputies and the Salina police officers that got there knew what to do and handled the situation. and it was over by the time I got there. But that was by far the worst, and I guess second worst would be, you know, the bad accident over in Mariastein a few years ago. You know, there is nothing worse than looking a mother in her eyes and telling her that her child's not coming back. There's nothing harder to do. I've had to do that several times in my career. That part of this job sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very easy to understand. So what are you most proud of?
Well, I'm going to say the people that we've managed to help. I had a girl, a lady, I mean, probably 45, who one day, she was in the jail because she came in with another group that was doing presentations called Brianna's Hope. And we had them coming in to help the people that are addicted to drugs. And I was in there to watch the presentation, and I didn't realize it. And the lady looked over at me, and she goes, "Sheriff, I want you to know you saved my life." And I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Because you have programs in the jail and you're helping us. I was a drug addict, and I sat in that chair right over there and went through these programs." And, you know, you look at that, and I hope we've touched other people's lives that way.
Yeah.
Where they, and I keep in contact with this lady, follow her on Facebook. If she's got a question or something, she'll send me a message. She's doing good. And I think we have some other people that have got their lives straightened out, and that makes you feel good. And then, of course, the big accomplishment that people will remember, the whole community, for better or worse, some people might be upset about it, is building the new jail.
Yeah.
It was really necessary, but you know, saving somebody's life and getting their life turned around is more important than that building.
Well, and you know, when like you look at the long-term effect that building that jail had, and can you imagine doing what you do now in the jail that you had 15 years ago?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You didn't have space to hold those people to help them. That's one of the things, right?
Right, and that was something I was just going to say. That lady we saved her life, if she'd have been in the old jail, we wouldn't have had that program.
Yeah.
And then who knows what would have happened to her.
Yeah. So, but Jeff, I tell you what, I consider you one of the true, you know, good guys and icons in the county and in Newport Recovery. You've gone into a position that is certainly not easy. When you screw something up, it's front page stuff. When you do a lot of good stuff, it's hard to find it in print.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you have a lot of people. You don't have a lot of people, but there's a few loud people that you get some press. You know, and there's thousands more than that that you think very highly of you. So I tell you what, I always enjoy when you come on. I always learn a lot, and I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're a really busy guy. So,
well, I appreciate you having me, and I got to say, if you're going to be sheriff someplace, Mercer County is the place to be it. There is a lot of wonderful people in this county. I have a special spot in my heart for Fort Recovery. I don't know how many people know this, but I almost, when I came to Fort Recovery as police chief, the idea, and the mayor knew this, the idea was come down here for 4 years, kind of get my police department organized, and then you can run for sheriff. I almost didn't run because this is such a great community. I mean, I always told people, Fort Recovery treats me so well, and they still do when I come down. You know, I mean, I don't live that far away from here and get down here from time to time, but you got a special community here.
Well, we're awfully proud of it. We're awfully proud of you, and I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come and join us.
Okay, make sure it ain't so long next time, okay?
Sure.
Invite me back. I feel like you don't like me anymore.
Well, we'll still be in the same building, but I think the next time we'll be in a different room.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Instead of in the lobby.
All right, I'll see if I can find you.
There you go.
It won't be hard once you get in the door.
All right.
Rocker, anything to close on, bud?
Oh, actually, do you ever get the feeling when you go out? I mean, that's not good, obviously, but
this is going to be a Bill Stogler question, isn't it?
Watch out.
With all the recent, shootings of cops, do you ever get the feeling when you walk out that morning and say, this could be it? Do you get trepidatious?
It's normally not in the morning that I'm going. It's normally when they called on the incident in the jail, when things like that happen. You know, when you're sheriff, I'm not out where I'm handling calls and stuff. I'm pretty much in the office running things. I do worry very much about deputies when they're out there. I think their training is good. We train them well. But you just can't be ready for everything.
Yeah.
And, so I do worry about them. And occasionally, because being out working the street is a young person's job, and I have had some parents who were hiring their kids, and, you know, when we swear them in, they can invite people. So a lot of times they bring their parents, and it's hard because especially the mothers are worried about their son or daughter. Sure. And we've got a lot of women that work in the patrol division. They do a great job. So it's not just a man's job anymore. And, you know, you try to explain to the mothers that, you know, they get a lot of training, they'll be okay and stuff. And I've had a couple mothers that have looked at me and went, can you guarantee me that they'll be safe? And it's like, I can guarantee you we will give them the tools and we will do our best at training them. But you can't guarantee anything.
Well,
I mean,
they can be in any job.
Right.
You know, they can be working at the convenience store down the street or whatever, and you know you don't know that,
right?
You know, so
I will tell you this, Rocker. I will tell you this.
I'm just trying to be my impersonation of Mike Wallace.
Well, I will tell you this. We've got, I think, four women assigned to patrol now, and every once in a while I get people who go, don't you worry about them? Don't you think they're going to get hurt? And I just laugh because they can handle themselves. So if they stop you, just do what they say or you're going to get hurt. I'm just telling you, I'm a little bit afraid of them myself.
That's a very good point. So, well, Jeff, again, thanks for coming on. Thanks for you taking the time. I promise that I won't wait as long to invite you back.
All right.
So, there is no sports talk tonight. Bubba and Fee both had some previous engagements that they had to meet. And Rocker and I will be back next Wednesday with another very special guest. Neil, anything to add?
No, not really. I think everything's pretty good. I think you asked all the right questions. And
I always do, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Well, I tell you what, for Jack Stogler and Rocker Bonville and Sheriff Jeff Gray, this is Insight saying goodbye, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.